Hey, everybody. Today on the Charlie Kirk Show, a special treat. Dr. Naomi Wolf, a former liberal who speaks out against vaccine mandates. She dives into the Pfizer documents, the World Health Assembly, the World Health Organization. We're going to have her back on the program. She was just terrific, and I hope you'll support the work she does. You can email me directly, freedom@charliekirk.com. We have a team on the ground in Davos, Switzerland. We have a team on the ground on the southern border, and we're going to have a team on the ground in Geneva, Switzerland. So if you want to support that work and you are motivated to get behind the work we are doing, go to tpusa.com and just follow the prompts to stop the globalist agenda, stop the Great Reset, and be able to get your copy, your free copy of the conservative response to the Great Reset for a gift of any amount. $5, $10, $20. That's tpusa.com, tpusa.com. As always, you can email me your thoughts, freedom@charliekirk.com, or support the Charlie Kirk Show at charliekirk.com/support. That's charliekirk.com/support. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. This is a guest I've wanted to have on for quite some time, someone who has just been one of the most articulate and courageous communicators during all of this nonsense that we lived through the last couple of years. She is the author of an upcoming book, The Bodies of Others, The New Authoritarians, COVID-19, and the War Against the Human. It comes out in just about a week, and I want to ask her about all sorts of different things. It is the wonderful Dr. Naomi Wolf. Doctor, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you. So I want to just dive right into it. Something's happening rather consequential in Geneva in the coming days. Tell us about what's happening with the World Health Organization, World Health Assembly. Is this an attempt to try to usurp our sovereignty?
All the warnings you just heard are absolutely correct. They're not exaggerated. And we need to be extremely, extremely worried. No alarm is too great for what we're facing. Actually, was an incredibly eloquent summary of the danger, but basically, I've got a chapter in The Bodies of Others explaining that the nation state is the one thing, a nation state with secure borders. You know, I'm pro-legal immigration. I'm the daughter of immigrants, but the globalists absolutely love dissolving national borders, and they love weakening people's allegiance to their local or national identity, national language, national culture, erasing national histories. And the reason they love it is just what we're seeing with the World Economic Forum. It makes people weaker at the grassroots level, and it empowers these oligarchs. And so it's 1,000% correct that if the U.S. becomes a signatory to the World Economic Forum proposal, treaty, we can expect to see mercenaries on our shores, or we can expect to see, as Ms. Bachman pointed out, U.S. military doing the bidding of the WHO. I mean, I posted yesterday on Getter that the U.S. military was in Indiana helping with the distribution of baby formula. Well, anyone who studies our history knows that the U.S. military is not supposed to be operating inside our borders. They're supposed to defend us from foreign enemies. It's the National Guard that's supposed to be operating inside our borders. And the reason it's so scary, I'm the wife of a veteran. I respect the military. It's so scary because they have to do the bidding of the commander-in-chief. And now the commander-in-chief will have to do the bidding of the head of the World Health Organization. So it's absolutely terrifying.
Yeah, and then also we're seeing these clues. I mean, Jack Posobiec on our team just got detained in Davos, that the World Economic Forum had their own police force. We're not really sure what that's all about. We're going to look deeper into that. Literal badges that say that they are the World Economic Forum police, which is just super bizarre. So I want to ask you, what can we do to actually put brakes on the World Health Organization, World Health Assembly? Is there still time left on the clock? What can be done?
Yeah, well, these are the right questions to ask. I just want to say I'm scared of that. Of course, they're going to have their own police force. In Canada, when Trudeau declared martial law for 24 hours, there were extremely violent police slash military figures abusing protesters, and they were unbadged, right? They didn't, you know, a police officer will have his name or her name because they're accountable. But these were unidentifiable, really scary people. Same thing in France. You're seeing them all over the world. And there are entities like Blackwater now called Chi, which can send militaries all over the world. So it's the easiest thing in the world to have these mercenaries come over the border now from Canada, or else, you know, I've raised this warning before, there are military age men pouring over the border from places like Afghanistan and Ukraine. And it's the easiest thing in the world to send them to God knows where, you know, and to arm them to assist the World Health Organization. So I've been saying, as you know, for some time that we're at war. I don't want to be at war, but a war is being waged on us, and we have to face the fact. So what can be done? Well, first of all, I cannot believe I'm saying this, a lifelong former Democrat and child of hippies, but thank God for the Second Amendment, because one reason that the United States is not, entirely enslaved like Australia or Shanghai or Canada in many ways, we're relatively freer compared to those countries, is that we have, you know, millions of owners of guns. And I'm a peaceful person. This should not be taken out of context, but it is harder to subjugate an armed population. And this is why our founders gave us the Second Amendment for exactly times like these. They knew that it was harder to subjugate an armed population. May that be the worst case scenario, I really hope that it does not devolve into civil war, which is really what the next thing is in history when you have an occupying force, which is what the WHO will be, you know, by next week. But there are very important things you can do at the state level. New Hampshire passed a raft of really good bills, and one of them is a non-enforcement bill where basically they said to the federal government, if you know, you can try all you want to issue federal regulations or laws that are unconstitutional, but New Hampshire is not going to enforce them. And I'm posting that bill as a model on Daily Clout, my new site, for everyone to ask their legislators to pass it. So what that means is, say the WHO deploys in Georgia, a state next door that refuses to enforce, I hate to see it come to this, but their National Guard, you know, will be at the ready to not enforce whatever the WHO wants to have happen. But these are, you know, really bad rear guard actions. Another one, you know, I guess we should be hopeful that any treaty can be reversed, right? Like the next executive, the next commander in chief can take us out of the WHO lack of sovereignty treaty. However, it's a lot harder to do that because WHO could pass a diktat, you know, between now and then saying that the US doesn't have the authority to do that. And I guess I hate to say this, but the last one is impeachment. I mean, these are traitors. You know, they are just traitors, and they're traitors to our country. Treason is a very serious crime. It's a capital offense in our system. And I guess I cannot believe I'm doing this, but I'm calling on my fellow Americans who are Democrats in the Senate and in Congress to join with Republicans and impeach this chief executive, you know, and his vice president. And by the way, impeachment goes all the way down the line. Our system set up the ability to impeach people like Rochelle Walensky and Dr. Fauci, if I remember the impeachment regulations correctly. Any official who does not represent the American people properly is supposed to be impeached. We've been asked to forget that, but that's what impeachment is for. And we need to get those people out of power immediately because they're handing over our sovereignty. This is the most catastrophic day in American history since its founding.
Wow. And if this gets ratified, then you're saying there's very little we can do except preempt it through the states.
Well, we have to preempt it through the states, and we have to be ready to defend our homes, and we have to be ready to know where our food supply is coming from. And we have to, you know, we have to do all these things quickly and at once. And we have to impeach the commander in chief immediately. So there will be no one in the White House to help him. And then we have to get a commander in chief in right away to reverse course.
Look, as you know, our friend Mike Lindell has amazing passion, and especially has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of their life. He didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Now Mike has done it again by introducing My Slippers. For a limited time, you'll save $90 on a pair of My Slippers. This blowout sale of the year won't last, so order now. Mike has taken over 2 years to develop this. The My Slippers are designed to wear indoors, out all day long. Made with My Pillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. Made with quality leather suede. Call 800-875-0425 or click on promo code Kirk or MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener square and use promo code Kirk. This offer will not last long, so order now with promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com, promo code Kirk at MyPillow.com. Doctor, walk us through the Pfizer documents. The floor is yours.
Sure. And just to note, I'm not a medical doctor, but I have 3,000 medical doctors, RNs, lab clinicians, biostatisticians, and other highly credentialed people who volunteered from both War Room Posse and Daily Clout to read the Pfizer documents and create reports about what's in them. So, you know, the headlines, I don't know where to start. It's such a crime against humanity. Pfizer knew by within a month of rollout in 2020 that, I'm sorry, in 2021, December of 2020, that the vaccines did not work, that they lacked efficacy. They knew in May of 2021 that 35 minors had had heart damage within a week of having been injected with the Pfizer mRNA vaccine, but they went ahead and got the EUA authorization from the FDA anyway a month later. And the government didn't tell us till August of 2021 that kids were getting heart damage, young adults were getting heart damage. Pfizer had to hire 2,400 full-time staffers just to deal with the paperwork generated by the adverse events, meaning terrible outcomes that they were seeing in the reports, over 42,000 adverse outcomes, over 1,200 people died. Four of them died on the day that they received the Pfizer vaccine. The latest reports from our teams show that, contrary to assertions by the manufacturers and by the FDA, the mRNA does have an effect on your DNA. They claimed that it didn't. Contrary to the claims of the spokesmodels and the CDC and the FDA, the vaccine doesn't stay in your arm. It migrates within 48 hours into your bloodstream, ending up in your liver, adrenals, your spleen, and if you're a woman, in your ovaries. Which could explain a great deal. And again, some of the most disturbing reports are the most recent ones, in which they are finding horrific harms against babies and fetuses, and also problems with lactation. They're finding that polyethylene glycol, which is a petroleum derivative, is appearing in the breast milk of vaccinated women in trace amounts, quote unquote, according to the literature. But what is a trace amount for a tiny newborn baby? And also there's a question about whether the spike protein and the mRNA are also in breast milk. Some of the signals that Pfizer documents show is discoloration of breast milk and also of fetal death. And a lot of reports across the country are of newborns and babies having gastrointestinal distress, failure to thrive, meaning they're not gaining weight from the breastfeeding from mothers who have been vaccinated. So among the demonic things happening to the human race right now, I think that the fact that there's been a disruption in the breast formula supply lines, Bill Gates and his tech bros, Zuckerberg, Branson, are all invested in an artificial breast milk substitute called Bio Milk with a Q. And breastfeeding mothers are experiencing harms to their tiny babies is very, very, very distressing. And I guess a couple of final things. I mean, there are so many, and you should go to dailyclout.io to see all 15 reports. But Pfizer knew that the injections depressed your leukocytes. What are leukocytes? They harm your leukocytes. It's your immune response. And this may well explain why now it's vaccinated people who are getting COVID over and over and going to the hospital, and unvaccinated people appear to be largely, you know, many of them are immune and have already had their immune system beat COVID. So it's a farrago of lies and harms, massive categories of neurological disorders in the Pfizer documents, joint pain, which they didn't describe at all. A lot of people, I don't have it now, muscle pain that doesn't go away, not disclosed. A lot of encephaly, unbelievable amounts of thrombocytopenia, blood clotting problems, clotting of all kinds, blood clotting in legs, blood clotting in brains, blood clotting in, in hearts. And if you understand the mechanism and the fact that the lipid nanoparticles and the mRNA are going through your bloodstream, this is not that surprising, because lipid nanoparticles are tiny, hard casings, hard, fatty casings that are floating. Bloodstreams. Catastrophic.
What's the website again where people can dive more into this?
Sure. dailyclout.io.
dailyclout.io. Thank you for your courage to talk about this. From the very beginning, we try to tell people there wasn't something right with this vaccine. We got attacked from every angle. And now in the documents itself, we're seeing the truth. It's really out of control. Inflation is at a 40-year high. Your cash is getting sucked right out of your wallet with higher prices on gas, groceries, practically everything. Look, you got to take charge of your money right now. So here's a principle that we say: don't use the big banks that hate you. Bank of America is canceling conservatives. A team member that we have at Turning Point USA literally just had his bank account shut down by Bank of America. Literally no longer allowed to use Bank of America because of his politics. True story. So when you want to consolidate your debt and use equity in your home to do so, to lower your monthly expenses, you have to use my friends, Andrew and Todd, at andrewandtodd.com. You have to know what you're going through. So look, I just had dinner with Andrew and Todd in Orange County. We had a great time. They love the Lord. They know the Bible super well. They're ethical. They're beautiful people. They really are. They're wonderful. And Andrew and Todd aren't brokers. They're bankers who handle your refi loan personally from start to finish. And they're always in your corner. In fact, they're helping me with a problem right now. Just all this nonsense with interest rates and all this are helping me clarify it. They're phenomenal to work with. They're responsive. They're Christians. They're conservative. It's andrewandtodd.com to beat inflation by lowering your monthly expenses and protect your greatest asset, your home. So don't use these woke banks. Bank of America, again, my team member, I'm not going to say his name. You guys know him. He's been on our show. Literally, Bank of America sent him a note saying, "We are no longer allowing you to bank with us." Boom, like that, all because of politics. Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage share your values. I trust them. That's why I work with them. I hang out with them casually, and I've got to know them really well. They'll treat you right, and that when you use them, you're not using Citibank or Chase or these people that hate your values, that believe in this trans nonsense. Don't use those banks, diversity, equity, inclusion banks. Nope. Andrew and Todd at andrewandtodd.com. So just write that down right now. Write it in your phone. You might say, "Oh, Charlie, I don't need to refinance or whatever." Well, maybe you will 2 months from now. Maybe you young millennials out there, maybe the millennials listening to our show, my fellow millennials, you're going to buy a home soon. Maybe you're getting married and you want to buy something. It's andrewandtodd.com for a quick mortgage checkup. Use the equity in your home before it's too late. Go to andrewandtodd.com. That's andrewandtodd.com. Stop giving money to people who hate you. Andrewandtodd.com love the Lord. They love America and they're great friends. So I encourage you to use them as your go-to partner for anything mortgage related. Stop using the banks who hate you, andrewandtodd.com. So I'm still struggling with the bad back. So I get up in between segments and walk around here. And the team did an amazing job, Terrell and Jeff and Connor, the whole team. The studio looks so great. And so we have a library back here in our studio. And so as I'm kind of stretching out my back, I go back there and I start flipping through the books. And I realized they're not just there for show, like they're actually the books. And so one of my favorite books is Aristotle's Politics. I just kind of flip up to one of my favorite parts, which is Aristotle on tyranny. Aristotle was the student of Plato, who was the student of Socrates. So Socrates taught Plato. Plato taught Aristotle. Plato was more focused on ideals or the clouds, and Aristotle was more focused on what you can see, and what you can measure. And they both played in both categories. Aristotle's ethics, Nicomedean ethics, I never can pronounce that right, is one of the great books ever written. The first line, and I'm paraphrasing, is that all action points towards some good. So Aristotle, 2,500 years ago, I think better articulates part of what we are living through right now than even most commentators in the media. So Aristotle talked about things that do not change. So knowledge of things that do not change is wisdom. There's practical knowledge, and then there's knowledge that is eternal, that is rooted in the natural law. That is one of the reasons why when Aristotle was rediscovered and kind of restudied, if you will, by Thomas Aquinas and many others, there was kind of this constant through line of the classics to the Bible to practical judgment or prudence today. So Aristotle writes in The Politics, he says, tyrants aim to break the spirit of their subjects. They know that a poor-spirited man will never plot against anybody. A tyrant's second aim is to breed mutual distrust. This is 2,500 years ago, he was writing. Tyranny is never overthrown until people can begin to trust one another. And that is a reason why tyrants are always at war with the good. Tyrants feel that good men are dangerous to their authority, not only because they think it's shame to be governed despotically, but also because of their loyalty to themselves and to others, and because of their refusal to betray one another or anybody else. The final aim of a tyrant is to make sure that subjects are incapable of action. Nobody attempts the impossible. Therefore, no one will attempt to overthrow the tyrant or the tyranny when all are incapable of action. So let's just kind of summarize some of that. As we talk about the World Economic Forum and the World Health Assembly and Joe Biden, who is a tyrant, let's kind of just recap that. First, they want to break your will. The second is they want to breed mutual distrust. And then the third is that they want to make you incapable of action. Is Aristotle right? Well, what are they doing today? Well, let's think this. Break the will. So how do you break the will of a people? You break the will by making them not believe in their history, by also making them not have economic purchasing power. You can break the will of people by destroying their financial capacity to be free. Play cut 18. You want to see how you would break somebody's will? 2,500 years ago, Aristotle warned us that tyrants would try to do this. Well, this is in glowing colors exactly how they're breaking your will. Play cut 18.
Is inflation still the number one electoral issue for Americans?
So much of this is about inflation. That view of the nation that you described at the top is driven by concerns about inflation. So much of these views of the economy are driven by concerns about inflation. In fact, the number who say that the economy is bad is now the highest it's been during the Biden administration.
That breaks the will of a people. When people think that 60 or 70 or 80% of people think that there are worse days ahead, then you're going to start to have a cynical country. It breaks the will of a people to act. Aristotle predicted that 2,500 years ago. How about breeding mutual distrust? What do we just live through in the last year and a half, where vaccinated people are allowed to go to restaurants and unvaccinated people are not? Breeding mutual distrust is the othering of society. It is the tearing apart of the connective tissue that ties us together of citizens and citizens. They want to create us subjects, not citizens. Creating mutual distrust is also, maybe that person has a virus that's going to kill me. Maybe that person hates me because of their skin color. Maybe that person is going to terrorize me because they're a man or I'm a woman. Breeding mutual distrust is a necessary ingredient for the tyrant, Aristotle writes. And then finally, make you incapable of action. Now, there's a lot of different ways you can interpret that. You can make someone incapable of action by almost creating a national paralysis, making it seem as if that if you do anything, there would be an equal and opposite reaction held against you. Aristotle writes, no one will attempt to overthrow of a tyranny when all are incapable of action. He continues, what we have here are three principles in which policies of tyrants may be reduced. In other words, all the activities characteristic of tyrants could be regarded as resulting on three assumptions: to break the spirit, to sow mutual distrust, and to make you incapable of action. So then, the opposite must also be true. If we empower people to make them capable of action, if we rebuild trust, and if we rebuild the will and make sure it doesn't break, then that makes the tyrant weaker. If we know the three things that every single tyrant is trying to achieve, if we know what they are trying to put forward, then we should be actively trying to do the opposite. I want to play some tape here. Kind of confirms. Cut 16, straight from the mouth of a key member of the World Economic Forum, play cut 16. COVID is critical because it convinces people to accept to legitimize total biometric surveillance. That certainly breaks the will and makes you incapable of action.
COVID is critical because this is what convinces people to accept, to legitimize total biometric surveillance. If we want to stop this epidemic, we need not just to monitor people, we need to monitor what's happening under the skin.
We must monitor what's happening under the skin. Boy, if that doesn't break the will of the people, I don't know what does. So everything we should be focused on is empowering, creating more trust amongst people. You think about it, I mean, it's not anything that is totally and new and profound, but it's interesting to see kind of 2,500 years ago that the pattern of the action of the tyrant remains unchanged. It's the same playbook. And so we shouldn't be surprised by any of these actions. If you look at a country that was recently been broken or revolutionized, a country that went from the first world to the third world, or a country that has descended into chaos, there's a couple examples of that, especially over the last 100 years. You must break the will. You must make people not trust each other. You must other some group of people and then make the citizenry incapable of action. Everything that we talk about on this program is trying to make you more empowered for your medical decisions, for your educational decisions, for your financial decisions, for your political decisions, for your spiritual decisions. We want you not just to be incapable of action. We want you to be overly excited for the agency and the action that you have. The tyrant doesn't like that. But the tyrant wants you to be unfamiliar with one another. They do not want you to feel as if that the people around you are similar. They want a spirit of disconnected. The tyrant's power secures them in their position to keep the rich from the poor perpetually separated. So the mass income inequality that we see that is bubbling up in our nation, the mass wealth inequality, is a mark of a tyrant. Now, when we ask ourselves, how do we now topple the kind of tyrannical regime that is plaguing the West? It must all be centered around the citizen rising up against the powers, the unchecked power. I want to get to another piece of sound here that ties into this. I want to go to cut 14. This is a Communist Party directive in 1943 that says, when certain obstructionists become too irritating, label them after suitable buildups as a fascist or a Nazi or an anti-Semitic. This is part of the Communist Party playbook. You want to see why they slander so many people on the right with this? Play cut 14.
In 1943, the following directive was issued from party headquarters to all communists in the United States. It read, when certain obstructionists become too irritating, label them after suitable buildups as fascist or Nazi or anti-Semitic, and use the prestige of anti-fascist and tolerance organizations to discredit them. In the public mind, constantly associate those who oppose us with those names which already have a bad smell. The association will, after enough repetition, become fact in the public mind.
The association will, after enough repetition, become a fact in the public mind. This is why we must be relentless in pushing back against it. This is why we must understand the game that is really being undertaken here, which is, it is the citizen versus the tyrant. And our good friend, 2,500 years ago, gives us a playbook in great detail. Tyrannies can be preserved in two ways, Aristotle writes, which are utterly opposed to one another. One of them is the traditional way, and is the method of government still followed by the majority of tyrants. Many of its characteristics are supposed to have been originally instituted, but many features also derived from the Persian system of government. In addition, it is possible to, one, to prohibit common meals, clubs, education, and anything of like character. In other words, to adopt a defensive attitude against everything likely to produce the two qualities of mutual confidence and high spirit. Make sure people aren't meeting with one another. Makes you think maybe the digitization of our culture, does that play into this? Number two, to forbid societies of cultural purpose and any gathering of similar character, and use every means for making every subject as such of a stranger to one another as possible. Number three, require every resident in the city to be constantly appearing in public and always hanging out around the palace gates. Number four, ensure that nothing which any of his subjects says or do escapes the tyrant's notice. Number five, sow mutual distrust and foster discord between friend and friend, between rich and poor. And finally, number six, to impoverish his subjects. A tyrant needs you to be poor. Maybe that explains why your dollar is weaker than ever. 2,500 years ago, the playbook of Aristotle's politics is just as relevant today as it was then. Hey, everybody. Charlie Kirk here. With the left in a total panic over Twitter and DHS essentially creating their own ministry of truth, it is safe to say we're facing the biggest threat to the First Amendment in our lifetime. That's why I'm proud to support Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative cell phone provider. They offer broad nationwide coverage, so you get the same great service without funding the major carriers who donate to the left. Patriot Mobile has plans to fit any budget, and their U.S.-based customer support team provides exceptional customer service. Most importantly, Patriot Mobile shares your values and supports organizations fighting for religious liberty, the rights given to you by God and protected in the Constitution, and the sanctity of life. So make the switch right now today. I've made the switch. Our team has made the switch. Do it right now. Go to patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. Get free activation with the offer code CHARLIE. They also have special discounts for our veteran and first responder heroes. patriotmobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT. That's patriotmobile.com/Charlie. PatriotMobile.com/Charlie or call 972-PATRIOT, PatriotMobile.com/Charlie. If you need any more confirmation that our elections are that of the third world, Pennsylvania is an absolute catastrophe right now. And I just want to make sure everyone that hears my voice with the audience that the Lord has trusted us with, that this is written down and remembered. May 23rd, 2022. Do not be surprised and do not be shocked if on the night of the midterm elections, it goes for days and days of counting and suspicious activities and ballots are being lost. We have not made the proper and necessary changes in these states to be able to get election results the night of. We have not. I wish it was the case that I was here to report that Republicans saw what happened in the 2020 election and they outlawed Zucker boxes. In some states they did, but they didn't outlaw all ballot drop boxes and we fixed our elections. Instead, we are still in the third world where we cannot even get every vote counted a week later in the state of Pennsylvania in the highly contentious runoff of Dr. Oz versus Dave McCormick. Play cut 15.
And that is also where Dr. Oz's campaign is. Right now, he holds just a 0.1% lead over David McCormick. And McCormick has been slightly favored by mail-in ballots. So his team wants counties to be aware of the new federal court ruling. But here in Allegheny County, we were told that they are waiting on direction from the Secretary of State on that. There's little time left, though, for this debate. Tomorrow, unofficial election results are due. If one candidate does not achieve a 0.5% lead, the trailing candidate does not. And the trailing candidate does not waive a recount, which we don't expect either to do, then one will be ordered on Thursday, and the recount will have to be complete by the 7th. If that is the case, then we will not expect results to come in until June 8th.
How can you recount when you haven't even counted all the ballots? I mean, everyone says, well, it's going to a recount. It's going to a recount. You haven't even done the first count. It is such a disaster in Pennsylvania, which is now basically a every 2 year battleground state for control of the House, control of the Senate, control of the presidency, because the Democrats going super woke, white middle class voters are now really Republican in central Pennsylvania, which has opened up the entire playbook in Pennsylvania. And now Pennsylvania, we have to wait a week to get our election results. France, night of. Israel, night of. In the third world, they have it the night of. And yet, because of very weak Republicans and complicit Democrats, we are stretching this out. What is the possible argument for this? It is a joke. And this is going to happen coming into the midterms. I'm telling you right now, we're going to have a highly consequential Senate race in Arizona against Mark Kelly and whomever the nominee is for the Republican. We're going to support that person enthusiastically. And they're going to say it's too close to call in Arizona unless a certain network decides to call it again. Georgia. Unless Herschel Walker really blows Warnock out of the water, which I think he might, into the night. Ted Budd, North Carolina. Might have to wait a couple days. Pennsylvania, you are not going to get an election winner of Fetterman versus either Oz or McCormick the night of. No way. How about Wisconsin with Ron Johnson? So all these people say, we're going to take back the House. I think the House might be decided that night of, but will the Democrats allow an election night triumph? Or are they going to kind of let it stretch out where every sort of possible procedural and parliamentary intervention could possibly be exercised? And what is happening in Pennsylvania is a total catastrophe. It is an insult to the combined intelligence of America. We are the strongest, wealthiest country ever to exist in the history of the world. And it takes us a week to count a million ballots. We're supposed to believe, oh, everything's just fine. I mean, yeah, well, okay, we've got 9,000 ballots. No, sorry, we got 12,000 ballots left. The era of mail-in voting has completely obliterated people's integrity in elections. And Republicans are to blame too. Republican state legislature packed Act 77 in 2019 that gave Pennsylvania no excuse mail-in voting, and they aren't allowed to start counting the ballots until Election Day. That's Pennsylvania. Thanks to Republicans that did this. So I'm just giving you a warning right now, heading into November, that the shenanigans and the nonsense have been partially fixed in some of these states. But in far too many of them, you're going to see more mules deployed. You are going to see more ballots deployed. You're going to see more dark money coming from these Democrat nonprofits because Republicans did not go do the work because they were really afraid of the Washington Post. And it is on full display in this dumpster fire of what's happening in Pennsylvania. An insult to your intelligence and mine. Thank you so much for listening, everybody. Email me your thoughts, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thank you so much for listening. God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.